And I believe today, above any other time, the church needs to be that salt and that light in our world. We need to take our stand. We need to realize the power and the authority that we have in God and start to live and breathe that culture. So I'm just going to give a quick overview of some of these areas that we're going to be looking at over the next 6 weeks that are just so important. But culture is just so extremely important. Culture is where we come together, we work together to make an incredible difference. And for some reason within churches, culture changes, and rather than the church being all about him, the church almost becomes all about me. And there's such a challenge for the church to be all that God wants it to be. I'd love our church to be a place that we call home. And we're going to need it. I tell you, we're going to need a place to call home, because, man, this world will not be our home. We're going to need a refuge in the midst of the storm. We're going to need people that have beliefs and values that are going to stand together. If the church needs to step up, let's step up now and really nail our colours to the mast. So important to do that and to embrace all that God has for us, to be a home. You know, a number of years ago, 3 years ago, I went to Jakarta to visit our Compassion Children. It was great to be over there. But man, I was lost in their culture, in the hotel that we're staying in. The bell rang at 4 o'clock in the morning and Muslims would come out and pray. And there were so many just Muslims around everywhere. There was a sense of no, not much Christianity, except when you get into the suburbs and get into the churches where our Compassion Children were. It was a culture that's just way different from what I could understand. You know, when we flew home, when we landed in Sydney, I breathed a sigh of relief. I thought, I'm home. I'm at a place where people understand me and I understand them. I felt it's okay. I belong here. But then I flew from Sydney to Sunshine Coast, and then I walked in our house and I thought, boy, it's good to be really home. A home where I can be myself, a home where Meryl and I have built a culture where there's a sense of love, acceptance and forgiveness. A culture that I've been part of and that I believe in, and that together, as we've raised up our children and now our grandchildren come, there's a culture there that have got open arms and love. And you know, that's how the church has got to be. A place that we call home, where there's going to be open arms and there's going to be love. A place where it's okay to make a mistake. A place where I step out and try to do what I can, and if I fail, that I'm not going to be just criticized and rejected, but if I fail, I'm going to be embraced in love, and that I know that there are people, as Jesus would, who would love me. And that's so important. That's so important to know that there's a safety, there's a place called home. And I believe the early church had that. It was just amazing. The early church, as I read through the book of Acts, the early church had a culture. It was hilariously happy, utterly unafraid, and nearly always in trouble. But this church, that they stuck together. Let me read. Once God poured out his spirit and many 3,000 were added to the church in Acts chapter 2, 42. Let me just read what it says about the church. It says the church, the people of the church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many signs and wonders were performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, and sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had a need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, and everyone was enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their community daily those who were being saved. The church in those days was known for who they were. They're the loving ones. They're the people. They were held in high regards because they, in the church, they saw the positive stuff. They could see what this church did as they loved one another, as they sold their stuff, as they looked after one another. They saw them as a community of believers who were passionate and living out what they believed. It was amazing as people would hold the church in such high regard that they wouldn't do stuff against the church, but they, even though they weren't part of the church, they would honor the people that were in the church. Is that how it is today? Or dare I say today, the church has become known for what we don't like. The world knows the church for what we criticize, rather than who we are. And I want to look at this morning, we are an amazing church. Absolutely an amazing church. We have amazing people here in this church. We have an amazing group of people. We have an amazing opportunity. And we just need to together open our eyes and see by faith what God has given us, not look at the stuff that we don't have. Because we have some amazing things, because we are the body of Christ. You know, as I look at our culture, we've broken down to six different areas. And the first three is simply live, love and serve. That we want to live for God, we want to love one another, and we want to serve our community. That's the overview. But as we live for God, there's a real sense that we are alive and set free by the Holy Spirit. Part of our culture is that we are alive in what God is saying and what he's doing. And to be alive in what God is saying and what he's doing, to be that alive, isn't just about what God is saying or what I see in my head as I read the Word, but it's taking what I read in the Word and applying it in my heart and demonstrating it to other people. That people see my Christianity, just don't hear about it. Do you know what I mean? Are there people that you know that you hear about the Christianity, but you don't see it? Are there other people where you see it as well as they demonstrate in all that they do and all that they say? Galatians 5:16 says, walk in the Holy Spirit. So it says, walk in your daily walk. Walk in the Holy Spirit. Know what God is saying. Spend time with God. To live, to be alive in the Holy Spirit, we've got to spend time getting to know God each day and giving him time to speak into our lives. To be filled with the Holy Spirit, that means God wants us to be filled and overflowing. If God was to measure how full you are this morning with the Holy Spirit, where would that fit? Are you really full and overflowing, or there's some stuff there that's hindering all that God wants to do? You know, when other stuff gets into our lives, we can start our race well, but we've got to be so careful that along the way that we don't allow stuff to creep into our lives. We almost got to stop and take a stock take to say, hey, do I have the same sense of hearing and walking with the Spirit of God as I used to? So important to check. If you had to give yourself a rating out of 1 to 10, 10 is mean I am full, I'm on fire, I'm just enjoying my Christian experience with God every moment of the day. That's 10. 1 is, well, hope the rapture soon. Where would you rate yourself? Honestly, how are you going? How are you going with God and pressing into him? Other people can look and make decisions about it, but how well do I know him this morning? How well do I hear what the Spirit of God is saying and guiding me? That's our first point at church. We want to hear from God. It's not just saying, I've got to come Sunday morning just to hear what the preacher's saying. It's about hearing from God every moment of every day. Next part is simply that we will never stop being hungry for God, that we are passionate after God. I never stop wanting being hungry for going after all that God has, because God's plans and God's purposes for us are amazing. Have you ever been really hungry? Gets to mealtime, what happens? I want to eat. Have you got a sense that you're hungry for the things of God? I really want to do what God wants me to do. Sadie this morning, 93. Man, I'm sure on Friday mornings it would be very convenient for her to sleep in. Do you cook the cake on Friday mornings or Thursday night, Sadie? Friday morning. What time do you get up Friday morning? 7 o'clock. Wow. What an example. 7 o'clock to cook a cake so that she can bless the ladies at Mops. Isn't that amazing? That shows passion. There's passion there when someone would do that. So a sense of to live the life, to be connected. All I'm saying is be connected as you live. As you live, be connected with God. Don't just go through the paces. It's not a club, but a connection with God and what the Spirit of God is saying and being excited about that. The next part is love. And this is so important. And I think the church across our nation is starting to hear this at the moment. That love is just so important. That love embraces circumstances and situations. Doesn't change its mind. It doesn't change its opinion. But love is a sense of listening. Love is a sense of caring for others. And part of love is simply loving God's family. Just loving God's family. And part of our whole DNA here at LifePoint is we love the church. We love one another, to love other people, to love where we are. And it's so easy not to love people because they've hurt us, or it's so easy not to love others because we don't know them. But the importance is to love one another. That love is absolutely amazing. And we want to unpack that as we do this series about what it really means in God's family to love one another. Scripture says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, so that you must love one another. This is what everyone will know by this, that you are my disciples, that you love one another." To come to church and know that I'm going to be loved. Have you ever come to the church and been criticized? If you have, we missed it, haven't we? Have you ever come to the church and been critical of somebody else? Well, you've missed it. God says they'll know we're Christians because there's love. Now, what is love? They'll know we're Christians because when we're together or we're rubbing shoulders, we're being pressed, love is patient and kind. It's not envious. It does not boast. It's not jealous. It's not unbecoming. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. Love is action as we show one another that we love and we care for them, that we don't want to put them down, but we want to build people up. We value other people above ourselves. Now, sometimes that's hard because we think the most important person in the world is me. But to value other people, have you ever been valued by somebody else? Have you ever felt valued by somebody else? Man, it's special when someone values you, to value someone. So we've got to value others is what we want to be as a church. And the absolute opportunity to serve. The outcome of all this is serve. We're not consumers, but we want to contribute. We want to be a volunteer, as we've heard this morning, in such a wonderful way. And lastly, we give towards the things to come. To invest in what's to come is just so important. You see, be so simple if everything in the Christian life just went as planned. It'd be so simple for us, and I think sometimes in this day and age, we've got to the point where we believe in the Christian life that we should understand everything and everything should make sense. But let me tell you, the more I'm growing as a Christian, the more I'm seeing there is an incredible mystery to God. Have you ever come across his mystery? When God talks about by faith, when you take out by faith, step out by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we take a step of faith and we think we're doing what God wants us to do. But when we take that step of faith, it doesn't work out the way that we expected it to be. So rather than understanding that when we take a step of faith, there is mysteries in faith that may never be told to us this side of the kingdom, rather than embracing that, we say, well, God has let me down because God hasn't told me his secrets in what he really wants to do. But with faith, as we read through Scripture and all the great heroes of Scripture, as they've taken steps of faith, there's always been a mystery there that they haven't completely understood. And even though they didn't understand it, they still trusted that God is enough. And I think for some of you this morning, you're in one of those positions where, yep, you're stepping out in faith, but faith and mystery are almost together, and you're saying, why? Why, God? Why is this happening? Why are you allowing this to happen? In our nation, why are you allowing this to happen? And what we've got to do is allow faith to raise up, let mystery hang there, and say, God, I don't fully understand, but right where I am, right today, my faith is in that you're a good God and you'll look after it. And that's what faith is about. Trusting God when you can't see the way ahead. Trusting Him when it looks cloudy. And for the church across our nation, hey, we don't know what the outcome's going to be with our freedom to speak and our freedom to have our values. We don't know what the outcome is. There's going to be a mystery there. There's going to be an incredible mystery. But man, our faith needs to be strong. Our faith needs to be up there. Our faith needs to be saying, God, no matter what happens, we're going to trust you. We're going to trust you no matter what. You see, Jesus, as he went in the garden, is there and he's praying for you and me, and he's praying for the nation. And as he's praying, he's asking his Father and just saying, God, if you could just take this cup away from me. God, it's just so much to bear. If you could only take it away from me. And then he stops and he just prayed for what will be. On the cross, as he hung on the cross in agony and pain, and just almost too much for him, he realized in God's plan and purpose, everything was going to be okay. And that's our God. That's our God. In God's plan and purpose, it's all going to be okay. That's faith. Faith is trusting in the unseen. Faith is looking to the future and saying, God, I'm trusting you no matter what the waves or the oceans come my way. I trust you no matter what. Because Jesus, he absolutely demonstrated it. 2,000 years ago, he went to a cross and said, I'll go the whole way for you to trust me and have faith. And you know, if we look at the Old Testament, we see that the Old Testament, it was just about sacrificing a lamb and sacrificing a lamb for their sins, and that's what they had to do. We come to the New Testament, we think it's a lot easier because Jesus died on the cross for all of our sins. But it's not easier because it's not just about Jesus dying on the cross for our sins, but it's us taking up our cross and trusting him and following him and having a life of faith and to be holy as he is holy. And he expects us to be the shining heart of Jesus to this nation and this world. And that's a lot to us, but he gave a lot for us to step out and trust him. So it's when we have faith in our circumstances, when we have faith in the midst of the storm, it's when we have faith when things come against us, when we show our faith to the world, then they see Jesus. They just don't see a poor example, they see a great example of Jesus. So as a church, the whole underpinning culture of our church has got to be we have faith in God. We have faith that God has called us, he's not going to let us go, and he's going to always be with us. Is that okay? Father, we want to say thank you. This morning we've got amazing faith in you. We want to say thank you, Lord, for the cross and what it meant, Lord Jesus, as you gave your life for us. And I pray, Lord, this morning as we come to your table, as we just take a cup and we take a piece of bread, we can look at it for what it is, but God, it reminds us of the incredible faith you demonstrated as you gave your life for us, as you shed your blood so that we can be free, free in you. And I pray, Lord, as we come now to the table, would you just open our spiritual eyes and let us draw closer to you. Help our faith grow. Let us trust you, Lord, that you are enough. In Jesus' name, amen. Can I ask our hosts, please, to come and distribute communion? Just invite you this morning as you're served, can you just look at that cup, look at that piece of bread, and ask Jesus to grow your faith. Grow your faith. Wherever you're at, whatever circumstance, Jesus, grow my faith to let me be the person you totally want me to be.